From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief for June 21st. Iris here. June 21st, health and longevity in 10. Let's begin with what changed my mind this week. Let's get into it. First, from Science Daily Health. Major review finds vaping likely causes lung and oral cancer. Researchers have concluded that nicotine vapes are likely to cause lung and oral cancers, based on evidence ranging from human biomarkers to animal and laboratory studies. The findings challenge the idea that vaping is a harmless alternative to smoking and suggest health risks may be emerging much sooner than many expected. Next. Second, from Science Daily Health. Scientists discover neurons must break their DNA to build the brain. Researchers tracked newborn neurons in developing mouse brains using live cell imaging, so this isn't a single case report, but a systematic observation across many cells. They watched the neurons squeeze through narrow corridors and saw that the mechanical stress routinely creates double-strand breaks, the most severe type of DNA damage. Importantly, the same imaging showed the cells recruiting repair proteins within minutes, indicating a rapid, built-in fix. The study's strength lies in its direct, real-time view of the process, rather than relying on indirect markers. The authors also compared normal migrating neurons with those genetically altered to lack key repair factors. The latter accumulated unrepaired breaks and showed migration defects. That contrast underscores that the repair mechanism is essential for normal brain wiring. In plain terms, the brain's early construction crew new neurons, break their DNA as they push through tight spaces, but they also carry a fast-acting repair kit. Finding reshapes how we think about normal developmental stress. It's not just tolerated, it's expected and promptly fixed. It suggests that subtle disruptions to these repair pathways could have downstream effects on brain development, even if the immediate damage looks repaired. Up next, third from Science Daily Health. Yale study finds nearly half of older adults improved with age. A long-term Yale study is challenging one of the biggest myths about aging. Nearly half of adults over 65 improved physically, mentally, or both over time, despite the common belief that aging means constant decline. Researchers found that people with more positive attitudes about getting older were significantly more likely to show these gains. And then, fourth from the Habit Healers. What if 9 2-minute habits gave you a 50% survival advantage? A meta-analysis that pulled 148 studies and over 300,000 participants found that people with stronger social ties were about 50% more likely to be alive at the end of follow-up than those who were socially isolated. The benefit wasn't limited to marriage or roommates. It was biggest for folks who belong to groups, attend gatherings, or regularly chat with neighbors. In other words, community connection works on a scale comparable to smoking or high blood pressure, but it costs nothing. Separate systematic reviews and large cohort investigations have traced a biological pathway. Chronic isolation is linked to higher levels of systemic inflammation, especially markers like interleukin-6. The body treats prolonged loneliness as a low-grade stressor, keeping the inflammatory system turned up and increasing long-term risk for heart disease, metabolic problems, and dementia. A series of experiments on gratitude letters showed a consistent prediction error. People think their messages will feel awkward and be poorly received, yet recipients actually feel warm and appreciative. Try one of these low-effort habits. Send a genuine appreciation text each day. Make a weekly phone call to a friend or family member. Share a meal in person or via video once a week. Use a person's name in every brief interaction. Walk with a partner instead of solo. Greet a neighbor daily, or per. Form a small act of service weekly. That misperception explains why we underconnect, and it points to simple habits that can counteract it. Each habit is backed by at least one study, some meta-analyses, some randomized trials, showing modest but reliable gains in connection, mood, and even health markers. Pick one, start Monday, and notice how the small change adds up. Next, fifth from the Habit Healers. What if your morning coffee is spiking your blood sugar? The main point is that most of the evidence comes from a mix of short-term trials and observational studies looking at how coffee, meal order, and timing affect glucose after waking. Those studies are modest in size, so the effects aren't huge, but they're consistent enough to be worth trying. Your body naturally ramps up glucose in the early morning, a dawn surge that prepares you for the day. If you sip coffee on an empty stomach, the caffeine can blunt the insulin response, nudging that surge a bit higher. Waiting until after you've eaten, especially protein and veggies first, tends to keep the spike smaller. Switching the order of your breakfast, protein and vegetables before carbs, has been shown in a few controlled experiments to lower post-meal glucose peaks. Adding a glass of water when you get up and taking a brief walk after eating also modestly improves how the body handles sugar. If you have a continuous glucose monitor, you can test these tweaks yourself. Try coffee after breakfast, eat protein and veg first, stay hydrated, and see whether the numbers settle down. Small changes, no extra time, and you'll know what works for your own rhythm. Up next, 6 from Lindsay Mack's Complexity Edge. People trust you fast, then they start pulling away. Here's how it tends to go. Someone comes to you first. They trust you instinctively, sometimes before they even understand why. The conversations go deep fast, and they feel seen in ways they've never quite experienced before. And then something shifts, gradually, almost imperceptibly. The warmth cools and the gratitude transitions into something that looks and feels a lot like resentment. If this pattern has repeated itself in your life, you're likely neurocomplex and in good company. And then, 7th from the Female Edge, you may have a thyroid problem. Your doctor may not know. You sleep 8 hours and wake up tired. Your hair is thinning. Your hands are cold. Your thinking feels slower, as though someone turned down the voltage in your brain. You are still functioning, but everything takes more effort than it used to. Your doctor checks your TSH. It is normal. Conversation ends. What may never have been checked are the antibodies that reveal an autoimmune attack on the thyroid before the standard thyroid numbers become clearly abnormal. This omission matters because Hashimoto's is 4 to 10 times more common in women than men. Next, 8th from Died Suddenly Substack. The measles vaccine vaccine cause 30 times more deaths than measles itself. A recent exchange during a West Virginia Senate Education Committee hearing has gone viral online, reigniting a long-standing debate over vaccine mandates, medical freedom, and how public health risks should be measured. During the hearing, one speaker challenged the prevailing narrative surrounding measles, related deaths, and vaccine policy. Up next, 9th, from Heather's IBS newsletter, help for irritable bowel syndrome. Aloe vera, Senna, cascara, and IBS? Does aloe vera help IBS? What about using Senna or cascara? Aloe vera is known for treating minor burns and skin irritations, but is it safe and helpful to use internally for IBS? Not likely. Aloe vera is classified by the FDA as a class 1 harsh stimulant laxative. The anthraquinones and anthrones in aloe cause faster and stronger bowel contractions. With IBS, this can mean violent abdominal cramps, painful spasms, and diarrhea. Clinical studies on IBS patients are unable to show that aloe vera is superior to a placebo. Aloe vera taken internally also has serious safety concerns. Aloe is an A. And then, 10th, from the Dopamine Dispatch. The problem of having a body with ADHD. For starters, we have to regularly feed it, water it, clean it, and move it, all of which can be uniquely hard for ADHDers thanks to executive dysfunction. We also have to rest it, listen to it, and try to honor it if we want any semblance of a happy life. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow.